From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Sin Inexcusable and Judgment Inescapable. The text is Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here, Paul focuses upon the Jews, who considered themselves superior to the Gentiles because Israel was God's chosen people. They prided themselves on their heritage as the children of Abraham. But they committed the same sins as the Gentiles, and they would experience the same judgment. In the sight of God, sin is inexcusable. Furthermore, no matter what sinners may say or think, God's judgment upon sin is inescapable. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Choice Men. The text is Isaiah 48 and verse 10. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. This has long been the motto fixed before our eye upon the wall of our bedroom, and in many ways it has also been written on our heart. It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. Better to be the elect of God than the elect of a whole nation. So eminent is this privilege that whatever drawback may be joined to it, we very joyfully accept it, even as the Jew ate the bitter herbs for the sake of the Paschal Lamb. We choose the furnace, since God chooses us in it. We are chosen as an afflicted people, and not as a prosperous people. Chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. And yet here, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. So has it been in our case. In times of severest trial, God has made to us our calling and election plain, and we have made it sure. Then have we chosen the Lord to be our God, and He has shown that we are assuredly His chosen. Therefore, if today the furnace be heated 7 times hotter, we will not dread it, for the glorious Son of God will walk with us amid the glowing coals.
My heart to my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust like glory dead, and from the ground the blossoms red, life that shall endless be.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
To people about their soul, the first thing you've got to do is convince them that they're sinners. Until a person realizes he's a sinner and under the judgment of a holy God, he's never going to seek for God's answer to his sin. He's never going to be willing to receive Christ as his Savior. But when you start to talk to men about their sin, what's the first thing they do? They point to other people. They love to point to professing Christians. Look at that hypocrite. Look at that so-and-so. Look at what he's doing. Look at how bad they are. Well, let's take for granted that all those people are just as bad as you say they are. And let's even multiply it and say they're 100 times worse than you can ever conceive them to be. That does not excuse your sin before a holy God. That's what Paul's telling these people. Don't try to hide behind the sins of others. Other people's sins give you no escape, no defense. Paul also makes it clear in verse 1 that superior personal morality is no defense. The Jew would say, well, I'm better than the Gentile. So what? So what? You say, I'm better than Al Capone. I haven't murdered anybody. I'm better than the drug addicts and the streetwalkers and the thieves and the vagabonds. I'm better than those people. My morality is much higher than theirs. What Paul is saying here is better than Gentiles doesn't cut it. God's not going to compare you to the immorality of others. He's going to judge you by his own holy law. And then in verse 1, he's saying that self-serving hypocrisy gives you no defense. You see, these Jews were actually, because they were Jews, they were, in their mind, able to get away with doing the very things they condemned in the Gentiles. Why? Because, as I've said, they were in the covenant. So they thought. They were about to have an awful lesson. As Paul puts it later in this book, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. As he puts it later in this chapter, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. That's not a real Jew at all. But they didn't know that. They didn't care about that. They were hypocrites, and they hid behind their hypocrisy. You would look at some of those lives and say, my, what good and upright people they are. If any one of us had met the Pharisee that Jesus condemned in the story of the Pharisee and the publican, we would have said, now there's a good man. There's a wonderful man. But he went down to his house unjustified. He went down condemned because he was a hypocrite. And that's no defense before God. You know, this spirit of the Pharisee isn't just a Jewish thing. There's nothing in this world that's more natural to every one of us than to be a hypocrite. Now, that's a blanket statement, but I'm going to make it. You will have heard from this pulpit before, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek drama, where the actor would put a mask over his face to convey the character he was portraying. That's a hypocrite. He's living behind a mask. He's presenting a picture to the world that is unreal, untrue to what is on the inside. Now that mask may fool the world, but God looketh not on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's amazing, you know, that even in this day of such tolerance for evil, that almost everybody is willing to judge somebody else's sin as outrageous and wrong. There are a few liars, and I will call them that publicly, going around, who hold on to a philosophy that there is no such thing as truth, there is no such thing as right, there is no such thing as wrong. I say they are liars because they have to belie everything in their own very nature. And when they are faced with such a proposition, would you say it was wrong for me to enter your home, to destroy your goods, to murder your wife, to murder your children, to take all that I can take? Would you say that that was wrong? Some of these liars, just to maintain a philosophy that they know to be a lie, will say, I wouldn't like it, but I can't really say it would be wrong. Thankfully, even in this day and age, just about everybody else knows, yes, that's wrong. That is wrong. But by what standard? How can we judge the sin of a murderer to be wrong? How can we say anything is right and anything is wrong? We can only say that because back of that judgment there is a law. And as we go down this chapter, we will find it's a law that God has written on the heart. And it's a law that He has fully expounded in His Word. Now let me tell you, men and women, that's the standard for judgment. You express outrage at the sin of others. And this verse, by the way, does not say it is wrong to judge the sin of others. Society couldn't exist if we didn't judge the sin of others. What this is saying, it's wrong to judge the sin of others while you don't judge yourself when you do the very same thing. That's what's inexcusable. That's hypocrisy. But you judge their sin. Tell me, in your own mind now, what is it that's outrageous to you in this world? What is it that somebody in Greenville has been convicted of doing, and you find that a filthy, abominable sin, a wickedness to be condemned? Get something in your mind. Make it as bad as you can. And then check it off against the commandment of God. Is it murder? But what does the commandment, thou shalt not kill or do no murder, what does that commandment mean? The Bible tells me if you hate without a cause, you're guilty of the same sin. Have you ever been so angry that if you could have got away with it, you felt you could murder that person? Ah, you haven't done it. Maybe it's the fear, or just the grace of God inhibiting you. But the motivation of the murderer is there. You look at the poor tramp, the woman who walks the street and sells her body for money. You think of the vile characters who ply with her trade. Then you remember the words of our Savior. Any who has ever looked with lust is guilty of breaking the same law. A man steals $1 million, what is he? He's a thief. A man steals $1. What is he? He is a thief. Don't come before a holy God with your holier-than-thou hypocrisy. Because by the standard of God, He says to the Jew and He says to you, your sin is inexcusable. And therefore, the judgment is inescapable. He says in verse 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. My time is gone, and I will simply list the points that Paul is making. Verse 3, the denial of judgment is not an escape from judgment. Do you think that you'll escape? What he's saying is, look, you people have formulated a theory, a philosophy, a religion that says they're going to be judged, but I'm going to escape. Now, Paul is saying here, stop for a minute. Do you really think that you can escape the judgment of God? That's a searching question. Do you really think that? To deny it does not mean you escape from it. Verse 4, he says that delay in the execution of judgment is not an escape from judgment. The goodness, the forbearance, the long-suffering of God, this great patient endurance of God, where He, if I could use a very simple term, where He is put up with your sin for year after year after year after year after year. He's put up with your rebellion. He's put up with your Christ rejection. He's put up with your folly year after year. Many people take that delay as saying there is no judgment at all. Just as the same kind of folly, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 says, you've been talking for years about the coming of Christ and the coming judgment. We don't see any sign of it. Why does God delay? For the very same reason, Peter says, as Paul gives here, to lead you to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why He delays the judgment. The delay does not give you an escape. Verses 4 and 5, despising mercy aggravates God's judgment, but it doesn't avoid it. God has given you the riches of His goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering. His goodness leads you to repentance. Every time God convicts you of your sin, every time God tells you of the love of God in Christ, every time He gives you an invitation to repent and be converted, every time He tugs at the heartstring to pull you to the cross, He's leading you to repentance. Don't despise that. Don't despise it. For despising God's goodness will not give you an escape from wrath. It will aggravate your condition as it did the Jews. The whole argument for Paul here is that the need of the gospel for the Jew was just as great as it was for the Gentile. My application to you is, your need of Christ is just the same as the need the greatest heathen, the darkest pagan, the most immoral, wicked person on the face of God's earth tonight. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. The great message of chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 stands firm. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Apart from Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're, quotes, in the covenant community or outside the covenant community. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white, educated or illiterate. It doesn't matter how you've come to this point in life where you are tonight. I want to face you with a simple but far, far reaching fact, that apart from Christ revealed in the gospel, there is nothing but the wrath of a sin-hating God. And understand that. And that will summarize for you and me tonight just how urgent is the need to grasp the gospel. Christ is mighty to save. Christ is able to save. Christ is willing to save. All that I have said tonight is to lead men and women to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure you learn that truth. And flee from the wrath to come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.